broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I'm going to give an example of that here in about 2 seconds. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. I'm going to give an example of what I'm talking about here right now, and it has to do with this Dow Jones, world economy, bop, bop, boom, boom, all this good stuff. And it depends on whether or not you really want truth or you just want to sit and listen to the same stuff from the party on the left and the party on the right and the party on the left and the party on the, you know. What's happening in the world economy right now? People will tell you, because it's almost as if, as we said, if I'm invested in reporting news, well, then I want everybody to think that the biggest thing that's going on in the world right now, if I was Anderson Cooper, is what's happening in Somalia. Or I might want someone to think that the biggest thing that's happening in the world right now is what's going on in England. Or I might want people to think, et cetera, et cetera. Political parties are exactly the same. They want you to think that the biggest reason is this, or the biggest reason is that. The challenge for you and the challenge for me is to wade through all of that horse dung and find where it really is. Where is the terra firma? Now, if you don't like Obama, if you don't like Bush, if you don't like Republicans, if you don't like liberals, well, that's the center of your universe. And so every problem emanates from them. The problem that this stock market, the problem the world economy is having, so on and so forth, if we're honest with ourselves, which we rarely are, first of all, it takes a great deal of courage. It takes a lot of courage to say what is actually the truth. For a number of reasons. In my business, for instance, working in talk radio, you can't tell the truth because talk radio is either very, very conservative or very, very liberal, and it's not geared toward truth. It's geared toward programming. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if I have a radio station and it's all conservative all the time, or if I have a radio station all liberal all the time, that doesn't have anything to do with truth. That has to do with conservative or liberal. If you're a conservative and you think the only thing that comes out of a conservative's mouth is truth, well, then you probably think that they crap Tiffany cufflinks too, which they don't. You probably think that there's, you know, a sugar mountain someplace with a big thing of whipped cream and a cherry on top. And I got news for you, friend. It don't exist. Same thing with liberals. Same thing with those people. They think that the only thing that comes out of a liberal's face is truth. Well, if you really do believe that, you're in big trouble. You've got more serious problems than whether or not the Republicans or the conservatives or the Tea Party is going to take over. You need a CAT scan is what you need. However, that's not where the truth emanates from. We had people in this country and we had people around the world that decided that they were going to do business a certain way. Now, I find it ironic that on the one hand, we have people talking about allowing business to just do what it needs to do to make a dollar and get the government out of the way. And when those people do the business that they want to do and get the government out of the way and the boom, bada beam, bada boom, bada beam, well, guess what they did, man? Look what's happened. They started issuing all of these mortgages, subprime mortgages. They started packaging them up and sending them down the road. They closed up shop. They couldn't be found when the bill came to be paid. Well, these are people that were doing their thing. These are people that were making their number every month. They're making their commission every month. They're bringing in all kinds of big fat contracts to Countrywide and all these other companies. Oh, they're doing everything that that a good wheeling and dealing and free marketer would do. I mean, they have no concern about the future, and they have no concern about their investors. They have absolutely no concern whatsoever about the community that they exist in, but they're doing it their way. I mean, what, are you going to tell a guy how to make a living? Of course you're not going to tell a guy how to make a living. So, you know, Obama didn't cause that. I hate to break the news. I don't know, you know, if you even say those words in today's environment, especially on this thing called talk radio, which has become so perverted Talk radio today is, here's a business, ladies and gentlemen, that used to be, it was a deregulated business and should have gone in the opposite direction toward much broader programming. Today, it's never been more narrow. And today, we don't even have broadcasters. We've just got former lawyers who are talking conservative or liberal. And all they want to do is talk about Obama. And all they want to do is talk about Tea Party. And all they want to do is talk about Obama. And it's a complaint machine, morning, noon, and night, over and over and over, the same bloody message. And do you get any smarter? No, you don't. Are you getting any wiser? No, you're not. Are you getting information? Of course you're not. Do you think you are? Yes. This is the result of people who were just flat stupid. You see, it's not criminality. It's not conservatism. It's not liberalism. Yes, there was a little bit of Barney Frank. And yes, there was a little bit of George Bush. And yes, there was a little bit of Harry Reid and Christopher Dodd. And yes, there was a little bit of this guy. And was it this in the right hand and this on the left? Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. It's unfortunate, but I have to be honest with you, folks. There is no political ideology in this country that does not have culpability and responsibility on some level for the disaster that has taken place in this world. And only somebody that's lying to themselves would think any different. And if you say to me that the solution is to, you know, completely cut taxes and let business just do what it's going to do because the free market reigns, I've just given you two examples of the free market reigning. And they didn't do anything other than they got smaller and they got more inept. The radio business was deregulated. What happened? It's gotten worse, not better. And the banking business got the handcuffs taken off. And what happened? Take a look. 520 points down. The global economy is on the edge. People are losing their ass. The country is full. The American people are panicking because, unfortunately, we don't know a damn thing about history or how to. If we understood what happens in situations like this, if we understood what the historical trend has been, we may not panic as much. We may have a little more information. But Americans are notoriously stupid when it comes to the history of their own country, the history of the world, maybe even the history of their own lives. So anyway, here's where we are today. We back down below the 11,000 level, closing at the lowest level since September 2010. The Standard & Poor 500, a broader market measure, ended the day down 52 points. These jackasses are complaining about Standard & Poor. They should not have, dropped America's credit rating. Well, whatever. We should not have gotten ourselves into the situation that we're in. And maybe that, you know, people say, well, the Tea Party pushed us to the brink. I think it takes an unbelievable bit of gall to think that, you know, rather than try to find a solution, you're going to go ahead and pitch this as something you can lay at the feet of the Tea Party. I don't think there is a patriot, and I mean among Tea Party members and among liberals, I don't think there is one person that gives a damn about whether this country lives or dies. I think those bastards in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party would rather see the country go right down the crapper than see their own political parties be held accountable. To see their own political parties be fairly indicted for hypocrisy. I think that Tea Party, too, in fact, some of the most unpatriotic people I've ever seen are members of the Tea Party. You want to know why? They would rather lie. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going according to the conservative talk show playbook because I never saw the value in that, nor am I going according to the liberal talk show playbook. I'm going according to the this is what's going on playbook. You know, I'm talking to you. And because talk radio doesn't have anything to do with truth, it really doesn't, folks. I mean, I'm telling you, I know. Because it doesn't have anything to do with truth. I don't know how much longer, for instance, you're going to hear me on this station or any other station because I just know how the game is played. And you can be a Tea Party person or a progressive and pleasure yourself to the thought of that every night, but it isn't going to get the country moving in any faster in any direction that's going to make any more sense than it did, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. This country is going to survive if we remain a little bit more flexible and that we adapt and that we use what we need when the time comes. That's not being some inflexible bore like a progressive or a Tea Partier. That's not anybody that I want in a lifeboat, man, while we're, you know, looking for land. I don't want some ass that's going to sit there and say to me, well, I just believe that the use of wind power is the, you know, well, how about if we figure out what we're, you know, maybe we need to change some things. Change something! You know, I think we need to row. I think we need to sail. I think we need to row. I think we need to sail. How about if we try both? What? You get a Tea Party guy and a progressive guy in the same rowboat with you as you are trying to find land, and that's what you're going to be dealing with. Those two asses with their sailing and rowing. And meanwhile, you're just trying to get the damn thing moving, right? You guys think it's a game or something? You jackasses on the progressive side and the Tea Party side, you think this is some kind of a game? You think America's going to be around for you to screw with it in another 10 years? What are you going to mess with when this country is on its last legs? Who are you going to mess with then? You're going to go to your graves blaming the other guy. I know, I've already got this. Your lives, I can see all the way down to the end. You're going to go to your grave blaming the other guy. If you're a progressive, you'll go to your grave blaming the Tea Partiers and their. And if you're a conservative, you're going to go to your grave blaming the progressives and the Democrats. You think you guys are a surprise? Do you think that you're not easy to read? Do you think that your arguments for why we've reached this point in history have any connection to reality? I mean, you may be conning a lot of people, and I don't doubt that you are. I mean, I'm looking at a country. I'm looking at my country right now. I'm worried because, I mean, I don't think we've ever had a Congress with a bigger collection of moral cowards, and there's quite a few dumbasses in there, too, both Republican and Democrat. I think you guys are selling it, but you ain't selling it to everybody. You ain't selling it to me. You know, every chance I get, man, I'm going to tell people I know what's wrong with this country. The very thing that's wrong with our country are these asses with their three-cornered hats or these progressives with their jobs. You don't even know what the hell that means. What do you mean jobs? What does that mean, jobs? Yeah, people need jobs. You think just any magically made-up job and that's it? That's what's going to get it going again, huh? Jobs. Is that it? We're not in any position to start creating jobs because the stimulus package that they passed in the minds of most Americans is an absolute stiff. It is a failure. Now, what are you going to do? Stand there and say we had a really good idea, but it wasn't applied properly. Now let's get some more money into a stimulus, and then we'll do it right this time. Who do you think you're going to sell that to? And you jackasses in the Tea Party. You trying to tell me that your argument about less taxes and the government with its hands off of business and just let business do a thing, do you think that's relevant at all in the climate we're living in today with the industrialists like the automakers and the bankers and all the rest of these people, all of these private enterprise interests who let this country down? Don't give me this bull crap about unions, okay? You're not talking to an idiot. Go sell that crap someplace else. Got nothing to do with unions. It had everything to do with the people that were running the auto industry. Everything to do with the guys. And what union took the banks and turned them into a joke? You know, I'm just one American. And I've been on the radio many decades. I'm a communicator, and I've got, you know, a lot of different things to say about a lot of different things, and some of them may be right, some may be wrong. Here's one that is absolutely right, though. One that is absolutely right. This medium of talk radio that I work in that is selling you this conservative message or the liberal message, number one, it's not serving you. Number two, it's not telling you the truth. It's not even good radio. But on top of everything else, it's like they're toying with the future of the country. Yeah, you know, the country's in real distress, and these stupid asses are still sitting there with their Obama bashing or their Tea Party bashing, you know. All right, that's all I have to say about that. We're coming back. What was the story? Oh, yeah, Gavin DeGraw. Remember the guy that got beat up in the East Village? We'll find out what else on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, Gavin DeGraw. You remember this guy? He's a singer, often heard with Maroon 5, I think, and some other bands. He was attacked in the East Village on Monday morning in New York, beat up, and got hit by a cab. He can't remember anything. This is what he sounds like. It sounds like when he sings. That sounds like him after he got hit by the cab. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean that. Here is Gavin DeGraw. Great. So anyway, fans of Gavin DeGraw can breathe a sigh of relief. The singer was released this morning from Beth Israel Hospital in New York City after he was attacked and hit by a cab early Monday. Now, DeGraw underwent surgery for a broken nose on Tuesday, and he tweeted this message to his fans. He said, quote, "Hi, fans." Hi, my friends.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, I got it. "Hi, my friends. Honestly, I don't remember much. I only know I can recover from here. Thank you all for your genuine concern. I love you guys." Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
That ain't much of a tweet, Gavin. You know, you got some fans out here, man. Give it up a little bit. "Hi, my friends. I don't remember much." Well, right there, that's bullcrap. Now, what's this thing about you weren't drinking? All we want is the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Okay? Otherwise, Mr. DeGraw, we're going to have to, you know, hit the bullcrap alarm on you, man. All right. So what we have here is this. The attack by two men, at least two men, in the East Village, which police confirm was not a mugging, occurred when... How did they confirm that?
They probably didn't take no money.
According to who?
Probably according to Gavin DeGraw.
Well, he says he doesn't remember much. I guess he had everything on him, though, huh?
Yeah, he probably, you know, probably carried a roll.
What do you mean a roll?
Probably carried, like, you know, $1,200 or something like that.
Oh, who knows, man? Why? Why do you say that?
On account he's rich.
On account he's rich? What, because he's a rock star? He may not be, I don't even know if he's so-called, quote, rock star so much as he is just a professional musician. But nonetheless, the attack by at least two men in the East Village, which police confirmed was not a mugging, occurred when DeGraw left National Underground, a bar he co-owns with his brother Joseph. The singer was then hit by a cab 10 blocks from the scene of the crime, which sped away before anyone could get information. No one had been arrested, and the assault on the motive remained unclear. Since DeGraw tweeted he couldn't remember the attack, some think that the crime may have been due to a drunken altercation. That's my belief. That's my belief.
Well, what do you base that on?
That I don't know. I'm basing it on, since there was no mugging, and this guy, this lone man, Gavin DeGraw, got his ass beat, but he wasn't mugged. Something must have been said. Now, it could be that they just picked on him because he was one guy, and these were a larger group of guys, and they were slobs and ass blanks and... Don't say it, man. That's why I said blank.
Sorry.
And they just wanted to beat up on someone because they wanted to gang up on somebody. They had a chance. It could be that. It could be that the two of them, the two groups, meaning Mr. DeGraw and these other guys, they were drunk and there were words exchanged. That happens, too. Oh, yeah? What do you think of that? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Why don't you come over and see something? Okay, yeah. And then, you know, and maybe DeGraw is just drunk enough to think that he can take on three guys. That's happened before.
By you?
Not by me, no. I mean, although I've probably been that drunk. No, I don't think I've ever been so drunk as to think, ah, there's three guys. I think I'm going to choose those guys off, and I'm going to just work my way through all three of them, leave them where I found them, and continue my stroll home. Not. Police said a 911 caller reported that a man believed to be DeGraw, with blood on his shirt, who appeared to be heavily intoxicated, needed help, according to People. According to People. People Magazine. However, DeGraw's brother insists that Gavin only had cranberry juice that night, and his lack of memories is due to a concussion he suffered that night. Only cranberry juice. All right. So if his brother says he only drank cranberry juice, first of all, this guy appeared to be heavily intoxicated. Maybe he was dizzy. Maybe he was sick from the concussion. Investigators do not know precisely where the attack occurred, and they were seeking a second interview with Mr. DeGraw to get a closer account. We also have another piece of audio. What is this, man? Oh, this is the only piece of audio. We had the song. I thought this was something else.
No, that's Barack Obama, unless you want to play that.
Yes, of course. We also have this from Mr. DeGraw.
Yes, the president does plan to travel with his family.
Okay.
That wasn't President Obama.
That was another piece of audio I just threw in. All right, so detectives have tried to reconstruct Mr. DeGraw's movements with footage from a surveillance camera, but that's going to take some time. So the big fat mystery on why Mr. DeGraw was beat up and just how much booze, if any, he had in his system, this is going to be deviling us for many, many years to come. We'll be back with more World Famous Phil Henry Show. Barack Obama.
Phil Henry. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And I've noticed, Bud and Robert, ever since we've said truth is our bitch on the show, you notice all, I mentioned all the stations that are now calling themselves The Truth.
Yeah, you're going to get a piece of that, right?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to get a piece. No, I'm not going to get a piece of that. I won't get a piece of that. But we will remind people that it was us that invented the phrase truth is our bitch and that other radio stations picked up on. Ultimately, probably the benefactor will be some other, entity. I don't care. You know, I got a million of them. But I just noticed that. And when you say, well, the truth. Okay, what do you mean the truth? You know, when we say the truth is our bitch on this show, it means we go wherever it leads and we don't. I'm not sitting here, I'm not playing some Tea Party or progressive thing. That's what I mean. I'm not playing that, and we're not going to go there and talk, you know, that boring Obama, 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 Obama. Obama's the problem for everything. These guys that go on and on and on about that, man, I don't know. Do you guys understand just how lousy you are? You jackasses that are doing a radio show, I don't know who the hell you are. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what experience you got in the radio business. But do you know that when you are just hammering that Obama thing morning, noon, and night, do you know how lousy you sound? I mean, to anybody that's got ears in their head. And the same can be said for the liberals, but I got to tell you, most of the stuff I hear is this conservative just harangue. And as I said the other day, 99% of those guys are lying. They're just saying that stuff because they figure that's what's going to pull an audience. Does it? We'll see. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Mark Levine, and I know Mark, and he's a very nice man. Mark Levine doesn't pull any ratings. He doesn't pull any in Los Angeles. I don't know where. I think in New York, which is his home market. I think he does well. But he doesn't have anybody listening to him to any great degree. And don't give me this bull crap about how, well, we looked at the national satellite numbers. You know, you give a guy enough money, man, and he'll report any number you want him to report. So don't give me that stuff. I would love to look at the national satellite or whatever, the radar numbers. I'd love to see that. I'd like to see an actual radar number that's not influenced by somebody paying somebody some money. But I happen to know that some of these hosts that you might think are boffo box office, they're getting their ass kicked. So this is what I mean about where is the reality, really? You would think that it's right there in Sean Hannity's backyard. And there's another great guy. Sean's a terrific guy. And you may think reality lies solely in his purview, or Michael Savage, or whoever. Well, you're wrong. You're just being told that. Now, let's take a look at Michelle Bachmann. Is she nuts?
Based on that picture.
You shut up about the picture.
What about that picture, man?
The Michelle Bachmann, you mean on Newsweek?
Yeah. I looked at that picture the other day, and she looked like she's a man. She looks like she's ready to come unglued. Like she go after a man. Just go after your face.
Yeah, she didn't look too healthy on that one picture, what I seen.
First of all, that picture was the biggest cheap shot going.
You were just talking about conservatives being douchebags. What do you talk about now?
Why don't you speak English, huh?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I said, you're just talking about conservatives being douchebags, duped that down.
You know what? Will you quit mumbling, man?
What?
You're going, I don't even know what you're saying.
I said, You were talking
about... Will you shut up? I know what you said. I was talking about conservatives being douchebags. No, I didn't say they're douchebags. I said the line of the horse dung that's being pitched around this freaking country on conservative and liberal radio is enough to make you choke, man. Now, what happened to Michelle Bachmann with that Newsweek cover, this is what I mean when I say that I am an eminently fair man. And what does that mean? It means that I am interested in what is truth. Truth
is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch. Thank you, Robert. Michelle Bachmann, I may like her, I may not like her. I personally don't think she's presidential material. And I have many, many reasons to think that. But Newsweek, you guys are so desperate with your 1.3 million subscribers, half the subscribers that Time, which is also a rag, has. You're so desperate to do what? What exactly are you doing? Tell me that. Would you please, Newsweek, please? Bud, you be Newsweek and I'll be me.
What do you mean?
There, perfect. That's Newsweek.
What?
Just, Mr. Newsweek, what are you doing?
What?
Thank you. Bud, all you got to be is yourself and you're Newsweek. You guys know, editorial, what do you stand for editorially? What do you stand for? Now, you get a picture of a woman who is tired. You know she's had migraine headaches. That's nothing to laugh about. I don't care who the hell you are or what your problem is in life. You got to understand that a migraine headache is one of life's real horrific experiences. It's a horrifying pain. You're blind. You can't get a thing done. You're sick to your stomach. You can't move without wanting to vomit. You can't hear anything without wanting to just vomit. It is a terrible, terrible condition. It's caused by a number of things. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the great Los Angeles Lakers center, he suffered from migraine headaches. And it was in his neck, the alignment of his neck. And he went to chiropractors. He had treatments. There were some games where this man hit the floor with a migraine headache. I don't even know what the hell that must be like. Well, she has these. So now they take a picture of Michelle Bachmann. Her eyes are wide. She looks like she's stunned. It's, you know, she's not at her most attractive. And they slap it on the cover of Newsweek magazine with Queen of Rage. Now, that is a cheap shot, an editorial comment by a dying weekly news magazine that I got to give it to them. I hadn't thought about Newsweek magazine. It's possibly in decades. I haven't read anything in Newsweek. I haven't purchased a Newsweek. About the only time I ever read Newsweek is if I'm sitting in a doctor's office and I've gotten through all of the Field and Stream, some of the Car and Driver, and like a 1991 edition of Surfer magazine, then and only then do I look into the Newsweek.
Yeah, one time I was reading Boy's Life.
Oh, man.
No, it's not like that.
Yeah, so you'd rather read Boy's Life, huh? Okay.
Boy, man.
Shut up.
We're kidding you, okay? Take it easy. Boy's Life? Where would you be?
In a dentist office.
In the dentist? Oh, okay. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to the dentist and they had Highlights. Anybody remember Highlights magazine?
Yeah, I remember that. They had like a game and everything.
Yeah, they had like crossword puzzles.
Right. That was the kid magazine they used to have in the dentist office. But that's beside the point. What I'm saying is, you take a picture, and God knows on any given day, folks, you can take pictures of anybody. Now, I know that there are a lot of progressive, liberal, Democrat, douchebag, whatever the hell you call yourself out there, say, oh, come on, Henry. I get it, man, okay? But, you know, you guys, you got to really lay off of, first of all, progressives, with the exception of maybe Randy Rhodes, are not funny. Well, okay, maybe, I like Randy, though. She's just, I don't know why I think she's funnier than Stephen Colbert or that other douchebag, Jon Stewart. She just is. And most of the stuff, like I see in the Huffington Post under their humor, Huffington Post has a humor section. That in and of itself is funny. But when they had that one guy with the blog and he was attacking the Down syndrome, the afflicting one of Sarah Palin's children or grandchildren, I forget which, I thought, wow, that's, you talk about desperate. But I mean, the fact is that they do that. But when you take this picture of Bachmann, who I don't like her, and you stick it on the cover of Newsweek with the bugged out eyes, and you call her the Queen of Rage, what are you doing, Newsweek? Other than what are you doing, man? Are you like in the wake of the Huffington Post now? Is that what you are? You're just a pilot fish for other more interesting liberal sites? You know, I mean, the Huffington Post, even though it doesn't get certain things right, like it's never gotten the humor thing, but they've evolved into a fairly, fairly good little news site if you can overlook some of the more sickening aspects. Same thing goes, though, for Daily Beast, Politico, Drudge. All of them have evolved and have gotten better in time. But Newsweek magazine is so lost, like so many of the traditional news outlets. Time Magazine, New York Times, L.A. Times. Even the surviving behemoths of the old days of news gathering is so out of touch, so out of step, so stiff and lost that they got to stick a picture of Michelle Bachmann on the cover looking like she's half out of her mind. Now, I looked at that, and a lot of people said, boy, doesn't she look crazy? I said, yeah, well, but I bet you they could have found a few pictures that were a little more flattering. I don't know. You know?
That wasn't the point, though. They think she's batty. They think she's half out of her mind, man. They think she's bat crap.
Yeah, if you think you're bat crap, what are you going to do?
Where is Newsweek's editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann? She's bat crap? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what they say. Then they put it on the cover.
Well, hold on for a minute. I thought Newsweek magazine was just a news magazine. I didn't know that they had an editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann. Are you telling me they now have an editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann where they want her to look like she's bat crap and she's, she hasn't got both oars in the water and she looks like she's ready to take a freaking knife to, you know, the private eye coming up the stairs in Psycho, you know?
Yeah, I look like Norman Bates' mom.
That's what you think she looks like?
Well, if your editorial policy, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, there you go. You don't know. You don't know. Now, I'll tell you what a story is in that family, and I don't know why they're ignoring it. You know it, and I know it. You know it, and I know it.
You're going to talk about her husband.
I'm going to talk about her husband. If you are, if you've taken a public stance opposed to gay marriage, which is your right, I let's face it, folks, President Obama is opposed to gay marriage. Mitt Romney is opposed to gay marriage. Now, it's interesting that this guy Perry, is that his name? Who's the guy in Texas? Perry?
You don't even know what a governor in Texas is?
No, yes, I do. Rick Perry. Excuse me, bud. Rick Perry is in favor. He says it's a states' rights issue. That's about as dangerous a position as you could take as saying, no, I'm opposed to gay rights. If you leave human rights to the states, you're going to have what we had in the South in the 1950s. Same thing. That was states' rights, too. And if you leave human rights to a state, every individual state is going to have some different opinion on that. You're going to have, the feds are going to be involved eventually. But I will give it to Perry in that he deftly sidestepped the issue by simply saying, well, it's a states' rights issue. All right. Having said all of that, Michelle Bachmann is on record as being opposed to it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say this with the greatest of respect. There are a great many in the gay community who believe that Michelle Bachmann is married to a gay man. Marcus Bachmann, in the minds of a great many, is homosexual.
You kidding me?
No, I'm not. Where have you been, man?
Talked about it last week. I was out sick.
Oh, that's right. You guys weren't even here. Well, then how do you know I talked about it last week?
On account I listen to podcasts because I want to stay up on my job.
I listen to podcasts, man. Don't tell me that you stayed up on your job. I listen to them, too.
Yeah, but I knew what was going.
Shut up, will you? All right, good for you. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. Robert, whatever. Okay?
I'm just doing it. I listen to them.
All right, fine. But here's the thing. Marcus Bachmann, I don't care about this clinic he's got. All of this stuff is beside the point. He's gay. And he can be gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay. I suppose if you're a gay man, you can marry a straight woman if you want. But all of the denial on top of the opposition to gay rights, the hypocrisy and the denial, I mean, it is a modern American gothic horror show. A woman with migraine headaches and the eyes bugged out of her head as she embraces her gay husband, who is waving to people with both hands over the head, hi,
as he goes down, you know, whatever he's doing. And come on. That's the gothic horror show that is the Michelle Bachmann story. And I'm trying to be kind because, like I said, I don't know what sort of issues they've got going on in that family that she doesn't recognize this. She doesn't see this. And what is he doing? He's got this whole thing about getting people, you know, past their homosexuality. I would submit to you that a man who is devoted to a kind of a discipline or a pursuit as that, I would never call it anything scientific. It seems to be sort of a quasi-science that he's, you know, unveiling as he goes. You know, that's one way of dealing with your own urges.
Man, you better be right, man. A man will sue you for that.
He ain't going to sue me for what? Saying that he's gay? What the hell is he going to sue me for? It's a protected, it's not a slanderous statement. It's like saying he's got green eyes when he's got blue. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's, you know, if you got green eyes, oh no, I've got blue eyes. I'm going to sue you for saying I have green eyes. Are you stupid? Well, nonetheless, that's why I believe that guy opened up that clinic. That's why I believe that he's involved in the work that he's involved in. His wife has found a great friend in life, I'm sure. I'm sure that he's a good man to her. There's no question that there's love there. I'm not disputing any of that. And that she relies on him and that he's there for her and all of the things that a good marriage should be. I'm just simply saying that on top of all of that, there is this, you know, he's a homosexual. And I don't know if they've talked about that or dealt with that in their family. And I think it is something that voters would be very much interested in knowing about. I'm just telling you right now. You know.
Well, what they find out, what comes out and say he's gay?
Well, if he was to come out and say he's gay, which he's never going to do, that would obviously turn on its head a great many things in her campaign, not to mention her own ability to deal with and see things. If he doesn't, but it continues to become an issue, it's still going to derail. Or he doesn't, and it doesn't, and it's not an issue, which I think is what they're hoping for. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, then maybe she's got a shot. Right now, she's at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to polling. Ahead of her is Romney. Who's the other guy? Perry. Perry is pushing Romney for the lead. And one other. All right, we'll be back to wrap up here. Our final segment, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. Log on, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video every night, or watch the archived video the next day at philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, who says we've got a recession going on or a money squeeze going on or anything having to do with not enough bread for not enough stuff? Why, we couldn't possibly have any problems because the SETI Institute has received more than $200,000 in donations from fans who want them to continue looking for people from outer space. So we ain't got no money squeeze, I see.
Yeah, but that's spare change, man.
Oh, it's spare change, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know how many people.
Oh, don't give me that dung. You know, I'm telling you right now. You know, I've never believed, every time they say, well, the money's tight, this and that. Of course, money isn't. It's not all that tight. When we talk about America being in recession, or even America in depression, there is a certain class, the working class, get nailed. There's no question. In the 30s, of course, before we had the social safety nets, you had people living in tent cities. It was a very desperate time. But today in America, when we have a recession or we have a down economy, we have more perception of bad times than we actually have bad times, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is this, bud. We got a lot of people talking about bad times. But how many people are really suffering bad times? Now, but before you answer, just hold on for a minute. I know about being unemployed. First of all, let's talk about unemployed. I've been unemployed. I've been on unemployment insurance. Nobody need to tell me about being unemployed. I get it. I've been out of work. I've looked for work. I've lived on very little money. I've been broke. I've lived it all, baby. I haven't been in poverty, but the fact is that what Americans are going through right now, I've had to deal with that stuff. You know, so being unemployed, and someone can say to me, well, I've been unemployed for 2 years. I've been unemployed for 3 years. You know, until I talk individually with people, I don't really know what's going on there. Forgive me, but I just don't. Now, the thing that I'm saying is, when we talk about bad times in this country, most of the time we're talking about perception, not reality. And what I mean by that is, wow, times are really bad. Well, are you unemployed? No. Well, are you making your house pay? Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't have enough money for what, Knott's Berry Farm? That's what we mean when we talk about bad times in America. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft. Our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And our good friend, Jason Rantz, will be moving on down the line at the end of this month into a managerial position in the broadcast business, baby. That means we've got friends at the top. That's right. So we congratulate Jace. He is irreplaceable, and so that's why we won't be replacing him. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com as well. Tune in. Look at the video cast. Listen to the archives. Do it. Do something. Anything, but do it now.
Phil Hendry.